guys know, as Sean shared with you guys not too long ago, Renee's father passed away just not too long ago. This is her mom's first birthday since his passing, and they really just wanted just to take her out and spend time with her and just have a great weekend with mom. And so we're just blessed by that. And at the same time, it's just an honor and a privilege to bring Steve Adel up today. And I know so many of you guys have been with us for a while now. You've heard Steve Adel preach. Actually gave a great testimony about a trip he took to Jerusalem not too long ago. But anytime Steve, we have the opportunity to hear Steve and be with him, it's just amazing. He's become one of my closest friends here at Believers Chapel. Always just have an opportunity just to speak words in terms of him to me of encouragement, and always go to Steve if I have a question or even something comes up in my own life, and he's just always there as a quick encourager. We also have an amazing bond in that we both just love professional cycling. I know I shared with Steve and all you guys about a year ago that I had a chance to go to the Tour de France a number of years ago, and that really spoke to Steve. So much so that after this year's tour, we were both talking about the finish and talking about how exciting it is and the beauty of the tour and just, wow, what amazing countryside it is. And I went home and I got my bike out. And I got it all cleaned up. I haven't been on my race bike in probably 12 years. And I got my bike out, and I was all excited about it. And I got it all cleaned up. I got new air in the tires and just got everything greased up. And I sent a text to Steve. And I was like, hey, brother, I just got my bike out of the barn. And what do you say you and I go for a ride? And I was just so excited because I'm just like, I'm going to go for a bike ride with Steve Adel. And he sends me a response. And he says, I don't think you're in good enough shape to hang with me. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I took the bike. I just put it right back in the barn. It's already covered in cobwebs. And that's the way that story went, isn't it, Steve? I remember it happening just like that. It's not. But seriously, we are just blessed to have Steve Adel with us today. If you could just honor him and give him thanks for being here today. Love you, Steve. Love you.
Thank you so much.
Love you, brother. Amen.
No, that's not the way it happened. Actually, I told Matt. I said, Matt, you know, I used to ride years ago, and my race bike, I say race bike, it got stolen in Dallas, and now I ride my wife's mountain bike, which is good because it still gives me some good exercise. It is a privilege to be here to speak to you. I consider it a great honor. I take it very seriously. I told Pastor Sean, I said, Sean, I'm going to pray, I'm going to study, and by God's grace, I'm going to bring an encouraging word to the brethren at Believers Chapel. So with that, Lord, I want to thank you. You are so good to us. And I'm just asking, God, that you would help me to say only the things that are necessary and only in such a way that would be glorifying to you and encouraging to my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to put up the first scripture there. And when you put it up, you can leave it up. It's a scripture that has been tremendously encouraging for me. Okay. It is well with my soul. I told the Lord, you know, it's interesting. God woke me up. He wakes me up a lot, which is okay. And it's like, I've never heard an audible voice. That's a great scripture there. I've never heard an audible voice, but I have, and I do believe that people can hear audible voices. But the Lord speaks to me in my spirit. So he woke me up, and he said, Steve, don't be discouraged by anything. Just stay in the flow. I'm with you. Don't be concerned. Okay, so here's the scripture. Actually, that's not the scripture. I'm going to read the scripture to you. It's Colossians 1:13-14. It says, if you want to open up, you can read there. But he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God rescued us out of a domain of darkness. Now, I was in that domain until I was 25 years old. And while I was in that domain, I was selfish, I was self-centered, I was egotistical, I was not a good person. Now, I would have told someone that I believe in God, and I did believe in God. Then I read in James where it says, you believe that God is one? Good for you. The demons believe also and shudder. So I was putting myself, in a sense, in the same category as a demon, and that's not a good place to be. Let me say, the enemy is not concerned that a person believes in God. The enemy is concerned when a person is willing to give their life to God and to have his blood forgive our sins. That's what concerns the enemy. So I believed, and I actually prayed, which I'll talk about in a moment. But speaking about demons, let me tell you a story. Years ago, I was working in Dresser, and I was sharing with many people about the Lord. God gave me a great opportunity. And one of the people there who didn't know the Lord, he came to me one day and he told me, now there was, let me say this, there was a movie that was made that was, I think, the first movie that really glorified the power of Satan. And I won't tell you the name of it, doesn't matter. But it really glorified Satan. I didn't see the movie myself. But he went and he saw the movie. He came in and he said, Steve, I saw that movie and it made me afraid. He says, I don't even go to bed without the lights on now. And I called him by his name and I said, you have good reason to be afraid. Because outside of Jesus Christ, no one is a match for Satan. And that's reality, folks. When we give our life to the Lord, we need to understand it is God in us, the hope of glory. So, moving on. I told you that I prayed, and I did pray. So in this domain of darkness, I was my own little God in my own little world, but my world was crashing around me. And so I prayed, and I asked God, and this is what I said. I said, God, if you get me out of this, I will become a priest. And later on, I read where I am a priest. And all of you are priests. Aren't you glad to know that? Seriously. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness, that dark domain, into his marvelous light. In fact, we made a song. Well, I said we. You remember, for those of you who are about my age, you remember the scripture and song? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'll sing it later for those of you who would like me to. So he transferred and put me in his kingdom. Now, in this kingdom, Jesus Christ is king. And he wants to govern us by the power and the truth of his holy word. So, when we're in there, that's what governs us. It's God's word. It's not my own vain imagination. It's what saith the Lord. And again, I said, I've never heard an audible voice, but he does speak to me. I believe that, and I believe that he can speak to any one of you. You know, the scripture says that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, and that word is rhema, every rhema that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. It is a word, and God can use the scripture. God can use many things in order to give us a direction in our lives. But this is the thing we have to remember as well. Even though we are now, when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we became part of the kingdom of God. We still have an enemy that is not going to quit to try to influence us and to govern our lives. So let's go to the second slide, and if not, I'll read it. It's 1 Peter 5. What do you think? No? Oh, it's all right. Hey, no problem. I understand how things work. So I'll just read it. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So we're told by Peter that we need to be steadfast. We need to be on the alert. And the reason is because, as I said, the devil will continue to attempt to influence us, even though we are not technically, spiritually, in his domain anymore. We're now in the kingdom of God. He still wants to seal our joy. He still wants to make us directed by his influence. I think of our Lord, who in the wilderness, he defeated Satan. Three temptations, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. All that basically encompasses sin. But after he defeated the enemy, the scripture says that Satan departed from him to wait for an opportune time. He wasn't done with Jesus. Personally, I think the opportune time was in Gethsemane, where Jesus cried out or was praying to the Lord that if this cup can pass from my hands, let it be. So maybe Satan got the idea, oh, Jesus, he's kind of backtracking here. He might not make it to the cross. But praise the Lord, Jesus persevered. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so in our lives, beloved, as we follow after the Lord, the enemy will continue to try to influence us. So we have to remain steadfast. We have to resist him. And the scripture there says, resist him firm in your faith. Now, you know, it says that the enemy is like a roaring lion. So not being a lion expert, I looked up what does it mean when a lion roars. And this is, it was interesting. It said that a lion roars to let it be known that he is in ownership and governorship of an area. He wants every other lion to know. He wants everyone to know. He roars, this is my territory. And I thought it was so fitting because when the enemy roars, really what he's saying is, I want you back in my territory. I want you back where I think you belong. You need to be under my influence. And so what do? We resist him, firm in our faith. Now, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word. So the more that we understand God's word, the more that we allow his word to live in us, then the more we give the Lord the opportunity to speak victory into our lives. Think about the scripture. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. God wants us to continue to grow. In fact, let me say this. If you get discouraged, I get discouraged. But there's something that I do, not all the time, but a lot of times. And I encourage you to consider it and do it. When you get discouraged, get your Bible out, open to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, and read it out loud. Because it's all about what the Word of God is meant for us. It's an incredibly encouraging portion of Scripture. Okay, so I've chosen two portions of Scripture to encourage you today. Out of all the Bible, I chose these two. And the reason is because they have been so beneficial in my life. So the first one, I'll read it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice at all times. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, there have been times in my life where I wanted to know the unknown will of God. But I'll tell you, for me, speaking for myself, what I found is the unknown will of God comes forth as we do the known will of God. So let's go to the known will of God. The first thing, rejoice at all times. This can be a tough one. In fact, let me say that everything that God asks us to do, he will give us the power to do it. He doesn't ask us to do something and then expect for us just to pull it off. Beloved, I'm not little Jesus. The only reason I have any power and victory in my life is because Jesus Christ lives in me. And so when I think of rejoice without ceasing, I'll give you this example. I'm not trying to be melodramatic. When my beloved wife passed away 13 years ago, I did not rejoice that she had died. But I did rejoice that she knew the Lord. She was going to heaven. I'll see her again. And I rejoice over all the tremendous memories that I have of her. And I will acknowledge that I have been stymied at times when faced with things, even with other people's lives, that are so dire. They are so terrible. The people are so destitute. It was like I said, God, I just don't know how to rejoice. So here's what I do. I ask God, and I encourage you as well, I ask God to give me an eternal perspective so that I can get beyond what the temporal issue is and to see more into the eternity. And just to encourage us, I'm going to read a portion from, it's not on your slides, so but thank you. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what our beloved brother Paul went through. I haven't gone through anything like this. Maybe some of you have, but I will just tell you before I read it, I've not faced anything like Paul faced. This is what he says here, 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, portions of verse 23. Beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. That's amazing. How could he do this? Let's just turn back a few chapters to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. This is what Paul said. He calls all that he went through momentary light affliction. I mean, shame on me. I got a little upset at Walmart last week because they didn't have my favorite trail mix. You know, I kept going back day after day, and it just wasn't in there. I think everyone likes it, so I finally got some. He says this, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In order for us to really be able to rejoice the way God wants us to, we have to see life the way God sees it. We're here not just for the temporal time on earth, although I enjoy it here. We are here to be prepared for eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. And that's something to look forward to. Okay, the next thing is pray without ceasing. Let me give you an example of what I think praying with ceasing is. If I get up in the morning and I say, good morning, Lord, so good to know that you're here. I'm ready to go to work, and I'll be touching base with you later this evening when I get home before I go to bed. So for now, just signing off. Now that is praying with ceasing, because basically what I've told God is, I'm not going to be communicating with you the entire day. I will communicate with you when I get home. But this is what praying without ceasing to me is. It is always realizing that the presence of God is with us. So no matter where we are, we can talk with God, and we should always have an open heart to listen to God. was it Brother Andrew? Not advocating everything that he wrote, but he wrote a book, and it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. He wrote it about in the mid-1300s, and the basic premise is what I've already shared. The basic premise is understand that God is always with you no matter what you're doing, and you can always talk with him, and your heart should always be prepared to listen to him. So I'll give you an example. So my wife and I, we lived in Dallas for many years. We used to drive back to Olean on our vacation because we're both from here. And it was about a 22-hour drive. And while we're driving, we had a great time together. She would talk, I would listen, I would comment, I would talk, she would listen, she would comment. We were conversing a lot, but there were times where we were silent. Maybe she wanted to read a book. But here's the thing. I never forgot her presence was with me. And that's the way I see it with God. I may not be talking all the time, but I'm never stopping communication. So during the course of the day, if something happens, I'm saying, Lord, I need you. Father, thank you. I say, honestly, I probably say, Father, I need you. And Father, and Jesus, or whatever, Jesus, thank you for being with me. Because during the course of, who knows all the stuff that goes on in the course of a day? We need God. Now, I also will acknowledge to you that I've not always been successful in that, remembering God. One time, I'm on my way in Dallas to church. I'm getting ready to speak at a Bible study. And I'm getting on I-30, you know, I-30, it's the famous road. Love New York, there's a bumper sticker down there. Love New York, question mark, take I-30 east. Okay, so I was on I-30, but I was going west. So somehow, maybe I wasn't thinking, and apparently I cut some guy off. I didn't even know I did, but nonetheless, he pulls up beside me, and I'm telling you what, he's giving me the finger. He's giving me the Italian salute. He's telling me where to go and all this. I mean, he's yelling and yelling. And I'm so sorry. It just rose up within me. It wasn't the Spirit of God. And so I started yelling back, shaking my fist. Didn't give the finger. That's not my thing. But shaking my fist, telling, pointing over, pull over, pull over. Then later I'm thinking, what are you going to do if he pulled over? You going to pull over and take a goonie out of your shoe and hit him over the head? I mean, what are you going to do? Well, bless the Lord, he didn't pull over. And I came to, the Lord came, brought me to my senses and took me out of my rage. And the amazing thing, we got off at the same exit about 10 minutes later. By that time, I had cooled down. I'll just say this. I made peace with God before I got to speak, and I tried to make peace with him. If you want to know how, I can share that with you. Now, but I learned from that. So a while later, I'm driving home. I'm going I-30 east. I'm getting off at the same exit because that's I get on and off. And apparently, I mess with someone else. And so all of a sudden behind me, there's a car and he's beeping. I can see, I look in the mirror, he's just enraged, you know. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to get into it, Lord. Learn my lesson, I hope. And so I pulled off and just to let him go by. Well, he stops his car right next to me. So I said, well, Father, you know, in Texas, I mean, there are a lot of people packing down there. I thought, well, Father, I just rolled down my window. I says, my life is in your hands, which is a good place for our life to be, by the way. And he's yelling at me, and I said, basically, I yelled back at him. I said, sir, it was my fault. I didn't know what I did, but I thought I'd take blame anyways. I said, sir, it was my fault. Will you please forgive me? And I just looked at him. And he kind of shook his head and drove off. So that's the way I should handle when people get in my face. Now, there are another time where I desperately needed the Lord. During the summer when I wasn't teaching, I was working downtown Dallas, and I took the bus home, so I was on the Southwood Express going home, and at one of the stops, two drunk guys get on, and they're pretty rough-looking customers. Well, they go in the back, and they immediately start to harass this young lady who was sitting in front of them. So these guys, this young lady, and then me, sort of, kind of. And they were vile. I mean, they were saying just crude things to her. So I said, God, so I started praying. I said, God, would you just rebuke Satan? And I come against the strong man. And I ask God that you would put a muzzle on our enemy. But nothing happened. In fact, they were getting more antagonistic in their behavior toward her. So I thought, God, something has to be done. Now I'm going to acknowledge to you straight up, I was afraid. But I wasn't afraid of them. I was afraid of my wife. When I got home and I'd walk through the door, I'm all bloody and my clothes are torn. She would say, Steve, what happened? Honey, I got in a fight on the bus. You did what? Well, praise the Lord, that didn't happen. So back to the bus. I knew that something was fixing to happen when I stopped quoting scripture and I started quoting Popeye. I've had all I can stands. I can't stands no more. So it was like the Spirit of God in me saying, do something, man. So I turned around and I faced these guys and I heard my mouth say, hey. And these guys stopped immediately. In fact, everything stopped. It was like time stopped. And they looked right at me. And then I heard my mouth say, can I tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me? And one guy said, yeah. And I was unhindered, I don't know how long, but I started sharing with them the plan of salvation, that God loves us, that he sent Jesus to die for us, that he shed his blood for our sins, and that he saved me. And I said, he can do the same for you because God is no respecter of persons. Now, I would love to tell you that those guys gave their life to Christ right then. But I can tell you, that didn't happen, but I can tell you that a seed was planted in them and whoever else was on the bus that was listening, I suspect probably everyone. And then my prayer is that, and has been, anytime I sow a seed, because the scripture says one person plants, another person waters, but it's God who brings about the increase. So my prayer is for those guys, wherever they are, that God, that someone would have watered that seed and they would come to know Jesus Christ. I want to say this, too, regarding the trips with Chris. If I could do it over again, I would do some things differently. You know, back then I was a young man and I was more goal-oriented than I was people-oriented. And so when Chris would say, well, let's say this. When we started out, I had a goal. I needed to reach Texarkana by a certain time. I needed to reach Little Rock at a certain time, Memphis at a certain time, so on. But then Chris, and I'm looking at my clock and saying, man, I'm making good time, making good time. But Chris would say, hey, Steve, can we stop next stop? I want to get a cup of coffee from McDonald's. I think, oh, man. I said, sweetheart, come on, you know. If I could do it over again, if she would be back here now, any time that she wanted to do anything, I'd be pulling off that highway. I don't care if she got a cup of coffee on Highway 19 and on Highway 21. She says, Steve, I just need another cup because that last one wasn't. That's all right, sweetheart. Anything that she would want. I still try to do that for my daughter and my two granddaughters. Anytime I'm with them, if they need something, I'm not going to be arguing about it. I want to be a servant to them. Husbands, Not here to hassle you. But I want to encourage you to never take advantage of your wife. Don't take her for granted. You've heard me say, possibly some of you before, when your wife comes through the door, kiss her feet. Someone has said to me, Steve, you don't mean that. I do mean it. And someone could say, well, Steve, what if her feet are dirty? I said, that's even better. Because now you get to wash her feet before you kiss her feet. Tremendous opportunity for you guys to win some points. All right. So the next one was, in everything give thanks. I make a distinction that it doesn't say for everything, but in everything. Now, why can I give thanks in everything? Let's just think about the bus situation. Permit me a little foolishness. First of all, God, I've known the Lord now for 45 years or so. I'm not the oldest living Christian, but 45 years is a long time to begin to understand the character and the goodness of God. He's good. He's good all the time. We sing it, but he really is. And God, Jesus knows everything I'm going through, and Jesus knows how to get me through it. So permit me this foolishness. Could you imagine Jesus sitting next to his Father in heaven? He's all frantic. Oh, my goodness. God, I don't know. Steve's down there. He's in a world of hurt. What are we going to do? Beloved, that will never happen. But I know what is happening because the Scripture says that Jesus always lives to make intercession for the saints. He's up there praying for me. God, give Steve, or however he speaks to the Father, give Steve strength. He is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give him the ability, give him the words. That's what's going on. So, we're almost finished here. We're going to close. Well, actually, we'll go to this next verse. If you don't have it, I'll just read it. Philippians, it's a very similar verse. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So to the first part, be anxious for nothing. The main thing here is God does not want us to worry. And beloved, there are so many things that we could worry about, but God doesn't want us to worry about any one of them. Now, he doesn't want us to stuff it either, meaning we get a worry. No, I'm not going to think about it. No. No, it's not like that. He tells us what he wants to do. He says, take the worry, basically, and through prayer, which is talking with God, and supplication, which is making a request, let these requests be made known to God, but basically in thanksgiving. Now, the reason why we can give thanks to God is because we know his character. Do you have a friend or do you know someone that if you ask them to do something and they said, I'll do it, in your heart, it's done. I don't know when they will do that, you might be thinking, but you know it's gonna get done. Well, this request isn't being made to your friend. This request is being made to God. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're not talking about Joe Schmo from Kokomo here. God Almighty can get the stinking job done. Not stinking, I shouldn't have said that. Shame on me. Take that out of the tape. Okay, let's go on. And we thank him. Just like we would thank a friend, we thank God. God, thank you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you're going to get the job done. And then this is what happens, and this is very important. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, meaning it doesn't make sense to the human mind why we're at peace, because we're still in this turmoil. But the peace of God will see us through this, and he will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Beloved, our hearts and minds need to be guarded. They are so important. The scripture says, Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. If we want to have something good that we can share with others, Our heart has to be clean. Our heart should not be burdened with unnecessary things that the Lord doesn't want us to worry about. And then another scripture, it says, Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And that word rule means act like an arbitrator, kind of like if you have two places to go, two directions to go, then the peace of Christ will act as an arbitrator and give us what direction God wants us to go in. If our heart is not at peace, then we are limiting the possibility of really knowing what the will of God is, because we can be confused. So that's why it's one of the most important things that our heart be at peace so that God can speak through us. Okay, here's how we're going to end. I would dare say that in this group, there are many of you, and this is not a criticism, I'm just saying it's true, we all go through it, where you have been burdened by your heart is burdened, there's been an anxiety that you've been thinking about for a long time, maybe years, and the Lord wants to put you at peace. So what we're going to do is, we're going to just, not in a moment, we're going to bow our heads, and I'm just going to, in silence, ask every one of you, if there is an anxiety, if there is something that you've been thinking about that's really causing you distress, if you would be willing, by the grace of God, to give it to God and thank him for it, and then say, Father, I'm not going to worry. I'll continue to pray, but I'm not going to pray out of worry. I'm going to pray out of faith, believing that you're going to take care of it, and thank you for it. So, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. I want to thank you for your attendance. Let's go before the Lord now. Some of you may need more time, but I'll just ask that you would continue your prayer when you leave here, you go home. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. You are truly someone that we can look to in faith, knowing that you'll never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. Thank you, God, that we serve such a wonderful Father who loves us, such a wonderful Savior who is willing to die for us, such a wonderful Holy Spirit who lives inside us so that we can have victory. We're so grateful for this day, Lord, and I pray for all of us that we would go from here with a greater faith and a greater understanding that you want to direct our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.